If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Takes a shot, runs into the box, shot, score!
It's time for Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound, score!
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer and Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs, save more lives.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Here's Jason Longshore.
Let's kick it. Atlanta Soccer Tonight is live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. Welcome to our weekly soccer show. We talk soccer all over Atlanta, all over Georgia, all over the Southeast, all over the United States, all over the Western Hemisphere, honestly, all over the planet, especially right now, where we're going to get into what's happening in the African Cup of Nations. We're going to get into a huge game in the Premier League today that might give us a little bit clearer picture of the title picture. We'll get into NWSL, MLS, lots of stuff, but it's kind of a special episode of AST. We're closing out a year. This is the last episode of 2025. Obviously, there's only one more day left. And we're looking ahead to what will be a very special year in soccer in Atlanta, a year like we've never had before. But to get there, I want to really start with 2025 and what I remember about the sport in the city, in the country, kind of just my memories of 2025 and where things stand. It wasn't a year that was defined by a trophy here in Atlanta, unfortunately, by one team, one match. It felt kind of like a transitional year in some ways. You had some things end. You had some things stall. You had some things get lined up, some quietly, some loudly. In Atlanta, in the United States especially, it feels like we sometimes have this conversation about, is soccer going to be the next big sport? I think we've been having this conversation since the 70s in the United States. It's not the conversation to have anymore. It hasn't been for a long time. This was a year where it didn't feel like soccer took over. It was the year of soccer, the summer. It wasn't any of that. And I don't think 2026 is going to be that either. Some people will think it is. Those of you who have been in this game for a while, or those of you who are new to it but are getting that full picture, that full context of things, you'll know that this has all been an evolution and a growth process. It feels like 2025 is a year where things kind of settled. It's a year where I feel like the game, especially here in Atlanta, really started to prepare itself for what's next. Feels like the game grew up in a lot of ways. Feels like Atlanta soccer grew up in a lot of ways. In a more maybe permanent way. And some of that is physically permanent. The United States Soccer Federation, they're settling into their new home here in the Atlanta area in Fayette County and Trillith. The Arthur M. Blank National Training Center is close to being fully operational. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of staff members from the game's governing body in this country now here in the metro Atlanta area calling it home, working from here. It's not an office complex that's being built in Fayette County. It's a signal. It's U.S. Soccer planting its flag here in Georgia. It changes how this region, who frankly at times was pushed to the side or an afterthought in the national picture, not anymore. And you have two men's national team games coming up in March at Mercedes-Benz Stadium to kind of reinforce that. Atlanta is the picture now. It's not a special occasion. It's not we haven't been to the Southeast in a while. Let's do that. It is a big deal. It's home. At the grassroots level, the growth has been just as real. The high school game, which I love in the state of Georgia so much, and it gets overlooked so often. the growth has been so real right now. It's stronger than it's ever been before. And to me, that is the real lifeblood of where the game is right now in the state of Georgia, in the metro Atlanta area, all over, because that's where the game is for people who, yeah, probably not going to go pro. Does happen. It does happen. It's for people who love the game and create a lifelong love affair with the ball, with the game, with the experience, with the community around it. It's so important for that level of the game to be so strong right now. It's not just a Metro Atlanta thing either. It's all over the state. You go to Dalton, you go to Gainesville, you go to Oconee County, you go to Perry, you go to Fayette County, you go all over the area. And the game is strong. And high school soccer is one of the most popular sports in high school right now. It doesn't feel like a footnote anymore. It is a big part of the overall pipeline. I'm not talking purely about talent development. I'm talking about the pipeline of the sport in this area. It's a memory that will last for all of the kids who play soccer in high school. I have it. You know, I remember games I played in high school as much as anything else I've done in the game, because that was the time that you're representing your community, you're representing your school, you're representing your friends, your classmates, you're giving everything you have to win that game and represent well. Lifelong memories are forged there. Whether that ends up being a small stepping stone to a longer career on the playing field, whether it leads to the coaching side of things, which you see happen often, whether it leads to then players becoming referees, which I've seen happen firsthand, whether it leads to high school players loving the sport and what it's given to them and in giving back as parents, as fans, as buying Atlanta United tickets, all of that. It's all so, so important. And the overall pipeline, high school soccer being part of it, it's working, it's growing. You've got more players from the state of Georgia, men and women, that are getting opportunities to play at the next level in college, to play at the next level professionally. It doesn't happen by accident. All of this, the high school growth, the youth soccer growth, the better quality of player that is being developed, the better quality of games that you're watching, that all happens from the years and years and years of people planting seeds in youth clubs. I know when we do these like kind of year-end things, we get like hyper-focused on 1 year. And oh, what happened January 1st to lead to now December 30th? And that's it. That's all that matters. A lot of things that happened in 2025 are not going to pay off by the end of the year or pay off in 2026. They're going to pay off in 2035. They're going to pay off in 2045. They're going to continue to pay off down the line, because when people have good experiences, the youth level, at the high school level, and then play as far as they can play, at as high of a level as they can possibly play, they get to be a better version of their soccer selves. They're going to stay attached to the game for the rest of their lives. They're going to end up in the stands to support an Atlanta United. Now, 2025 was not an easy year for the club. There's no way around that. You know, you heard the broadcasts here on 92.9 The Game. It wasn't an easy year for Mike and I. It wasn't an easy year for people who lost their jobs. It wasn't an easy year for players who struggled, players who are no longer going to be here going forward. It wasn't an easy year on the field, on all of that. It wasn't from a lack of trying. And I think that's an easy thing to forget when the results aren't there. It wasn't because the club didn't invest. They did. They spent a ton of money coming into the year. It wasn't because they weren't aggressive. They pushed their chips in. The results didn't follow. Part of growing up, whether we're talking about players on the field, a club, a city, a fan base, it's learning from what didn't work. It's not the lack of resources. They're there. We're already seeing it. Players are being signed. We'll talk about that in the 3-4-3 tonight. The ambition, obviously, there. The lesson is now that spending money is only a step in the process. It really comes down to the execution. It comes down to everything that gets into alignment paying off. And sometimes you can do all the right things and it doesn't. And sometimes you can get lucky and things can be fleeting. You can have a little bit of success, but you don't have the roadmap. You don't have the foundation for that to continue. For me, one of the encouraging signs on the Atlanta United front comes from within the academy. Atlanta United 2, very strong years. It feels like the level of talent coming through the club is continuing to rise really quickly. It's not like incremental growth year to year to year. It feels like it is doubling down and tripling down and going fast in terms of the level of talent, in terms of the quality of people coming through. That's the long game. That's how you build sustainability. Ultimately, that's how, on top of money being spent and talented players coming in and then them delivering and producing, the way you win trophies regularly rather than just talk about it is by having a foundation. Now you do, and you have a strong one. Now all of it has to pay off with being in that trophy conversation and lifting some in 2026 and beyond. We got a lot of time to get there. I think the other thing I'll remember about 2025 is Atlanta's place in the global ecosystem of soccer showed itself this year in a big way. The city hosted Club World Cup matches over the summer. You had the European champions, Paris Saint-Germain. You had them here twice in the span of a week. You had Lionel Messi here with Inter Miami, one of the upsets of the tournament. You had Bayern Munich. The Bayern PSG game is one of the best games you'll see anywhere on the planet, and it was played right here in our city. You had really interesting matches across the board. You had a Premier League Summer Series preseason doubleheader come as well. This kind of stuff doesn't happen to cities that are trying to be soccer cities. This stuff comes to cities that are soccer cities. And I think one of the biggest reasons, beyond Atlanta United, beyond the growing youth and high school ecosystem of soccer in the city, beyond U.S. soccer planting roots here, the reason why Atlanta is the soccer city that it is, and it is Soccer City USA, it is the best in the country, it's because of y'all. It's because of the people who listen to this show on Tuesday nights in very large numbers, we learn. It's because of the people who are watching games in bars and pubs. It's the people playing in local leagues after work. It's the parents spending their weekends on the sidelines across the state. Sometimes people are doing all of the above, and thank you for those of you who are very busy and playing and shepherding kids from practice to practice and tuning in to 92.9 The Game for Atlanta Soccer Tonight. I appreciate it. But that's why all of this works. That's why Atlanta is the soccer city that it is. That's what I'll remember about 2025. It feels like a year that maybe down the line, maybe when we start comparing years in the Atlanta soccer yearbooks and we look back, you know, 10 years down the road, we might look at it and be like, 2025 was kind of a weird year. You know, you didn't have a lot of success on the field with the professional team. You had some cool things happen, but I think it's one of those years that is quietly underrated. And I think it's a lot of the work that happened this year and a lot of the things that happened this year are going to pay off. Now, some of them are going to start to pay off next year. Some of them, it might be longer down the road. It's going to be a fun ride to see. And, you know, we'll be here on Atlanta Soccer Tonight covering all of it. But that is part one of our year-end retrospective. Part two, we do have to look ahead to 2026. What are we looking forward to? Beyond just the World Cup, obviously, that's part of it. But what is 2026 going to be for soccer in this city? Let's talk about it coming up after the break on Atlanta Soccer Tonight on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
to more of Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. We looked back at 2025. Not quite done with the year. We still have another day, about 25 hours to go, 25 and a half. But we're going to look ahead to 2026 here in this segment. We're not talking about like next season. We're talking about a year that has had gravity for a while. This is a World Cup year. 2026 is a milestone year for the game in this country. It's not a make or break year, which is how I've seen some people portray it. That's not the case. It's not, game's not going anywhere. It's not a break year. It's how big is the make? How big is the boom going to be? It doesn't have to be all at once. It can be gradual. Again, think back to the 1996 Olympics. You didn't see Atlanta transform overnight because it hosted the Olympics. You saw it transform over a decade plus, to be fair. It took a while, but the effects of having the Olympics in 96 resonate today. The effects of having the World Cup in 2026 will resonate for decades to come. Because Atlanta will be welcoming the world in 26 in a way that is unlike anything it's ever done before. This is not a one-off major sporting event. This is not a weekend sporting event. This is not an Olympics, as big as that was. The World Cup is different. It's not just a match day. It's weeks of attention. It's a month plus of everybody in the world focused on one thing. It's the most galvanizing thing that the world has now. You're going to have things stop. You're going to have people stop. You're going to have people look and watch. And for some people, it'll be their first introduction to Atlanta. It'll be their first introduction to a stadium that, you know, we try not to take for granted, but is one of the best in the world, a Mercedes-Benz Stadium. People will see that and they'll be like I was when I was a kid and saw Mexico for the first time in 1986, when I saw Italy for the first time in the 1990 World Cup. You see these stadiums, you see these places, and you want to learn about them. Atlanta's going to be in that conversation. And Atlanta's not in a place where it was in 96. It's not in a place where it has to explain itself to the world anymore. It's not in a place where it has to wish and hope and cross their fingers that they can get everything done. The infrastructure is here. The fan culture is here. The soccer literacy is here. This is a city that is ready to host the world and the world's game without pretending to be something it's not. It's not an audition. It's Atlanta presenting itself to the world. It's also a year ahead where Atlanta United has a lot of opportunity ahead of it. There's a lot of excitement right now with Tata Martino coming back with signings. And we'll talk about today's announcement here in just a little bit in the 3-4-3. There's a lot of optimism with Tata Martino coming back, a man who has lifted a trophy, the biggest trophy here, MLS Cup in 2018. There's a lot of optimism about taking a reset opportunity and turning it into momentum. The lessons, hopefully, from 2025 don't disappear. They inform what comes next. The alignment maybe matters more than the noise or the headlines. The identity matters more than the noise or the headlines. There's a sense that like this next chapter of what Atlanta United is about coherence. It's about being intentional. It's about building something over a longer term that can withstand pressure past, you know, generating excitement past the startup phase. It is about clarity. It is about coherence. It is about foundational things that give you a chance to be successful year after year after year. that's where Atlanta United has to get to. And hopefully that's what we start to see come together in 2026. The other thing we're going to start to see come together right in front of our eyes in 2026 is Atlanta getting its NWSL team. Now, it's not going to take the field until 2028, but the reaction to the announcement towards the end of the year tells you everything. It wasn't a surprise for people in soccer in Atlanta. It wasn't a surprise for people involved in women's soccer anywhere in the country. It wasn't a surprise like Atlanta getting MLS back in 2014 was. And there were people who were saying, it's going to fail. It's Atlanta. It's going to fail. They don't have a soccer culture. It's going to fail. There were very prominent pundits who staked their reputations on Atlanta being a failure as a soccer city. Maybe they deleted some tweets. I'm not sure. But you didn't get that about the NWSL team. It was more of finally. It was more of, okay, now the ecosystem of soccer in Atlanta would reflect the reality on the ground. Women's soccer has always been a big part of it. The players have always been here. The coaches have always been here. The fans have been here. What was missing was the professional team. Now it's coming. It doesn't just mean more games to go to. It means jobs, front office roles, technical staff, media, marketing, ops, sales. It means opportunities for people who want to build careers in the sport without leaving the city. It means soccer becoming part of Atlanta's professional sports landscape in a fuller, more representative way. And it means visibility. For girls across Georgia and the Southeast, it's no longer an abstract dream to be a professional in women's soccer. It's local. It's tangible. You can go see it. You can touch it. You can feel it. You can attend. You can go to these games. You can aspire to it. You can have the poster on the wall. When the highest level of the women's game exists in your city, the ceiling changes. What's possible becomes normal. And the long-term impact is even bigger. An NWSL team coming means you're building out an academy. It means structured pathways for young players. It means the development systems that will connect the recreational side and the youth side and the high school side and the academy side and in college and the professional level. You're already producing elite talent. Now this fills a gap that's existed for just too long. For years, Atlanta soccer has been defined by Atlanta United and the global events that have come here. Adding women's professional soccer completes the picture. I'm so excited to see this all come together. It aligns Atlanta with where the sport is going internationally, not where it's been. The tone around the announcement, I thought, was another big element to it. Excitement, yeah, but seriousness. Again, kind of expectation of, yeah, this makes sense. This finally, it's here. Great, let's go. It wasn't a shock. It was a commitment to doing it right and building something that lasts. And if you know Arthur Blank, that's not a surprise that that would be the approach that would be taken here. It's a foundational piece. It won't feel like something new, crazy, and exotic in 2028. It'll feel like something that's always belonged and is finally here. This is a critical year in the build. You're going to start to see infrastructure take shape. Academies are going to start to be at least discussed, and plans are going to be made. Pathways are going to be formalized. It stops being an idea and it starts becoming a system. That horizon is visible. It's 2 years down the road. Young players, coaches, administrators, supporters, aspiring professionals on and off the field. It's a chance to build something. It's rooted in what should be a very successful launch of a women's professional soccer team here. I think another thing about 2026 that I'm really intrigued by is MLS being at an inflection point. 25 was a huge year for the league. Continued to grow. I think it also became a year where people within the league and people who have maybe been a huge part of growing the league to where it is have started to think more of what it is to what it wants to be down the line. Look, one of the case studies is Inter Miami. there's a lot of people who are angry about it, about Miami being successful. There were a lot of people who were angry about Atlanta being successful. Miami did it in a different way, but not crazy, outside of signing the greatest player to possibly ever step on a field in Lionel Messi, but spending money, being aggressive, pushing the envelope, going out and saying we want to win everything and being ambitious. That's what Miami did, and they achieved it. Their success is a good thing for the league, full stop. It validates the idea that investment and investment on the heavy side can raise not just a team's profile, but the league's profile. It can drive interest, it can sell tickets, it can move merchandise, bring global attention. The league is better when its biggest, most ambitious clubs have stars that matter beyond just our borders and are also successful. MLS is going to grow with recognizable names, ambition, and more eyes on the product. But here's the thing, and this is what I love about this league, and this is the part that I hope never changes. Doing all that is a good thing, but it doesn't guarantee you're successful. Look at Atlanta United in 2025. They spent. They weren't successful. Miami spent in 2024. They weren't successful. It doesn't guarantee. That's the beauty of this league. You can build a team in a lot of different ways and be successful. You can focus on development. You can lean into scouting. You can look for diamonds in the rough. You can lean into your academy. You can grow value, sell players, make money, build relevance. You can do all that. All these different philosophies can coexist, and you have the parity that is a huge value to the league, and you have a playoff structure that is a huge value to the league, that you will see upsets. You will see surprises. You will see things that will shock you. And that's all a good thing. However, this is the line, in my opinion, that 2025 underlined in MLS. To win trophies, you've got to have game changers. Game-changing players, match-breaking players. And Miami had that. And they delivered. That's why in the postseason, Lionel Messi assisted on every goal imaginable, it seemed like. And Tadeo Ashende was an amazing player and scored goals. Rodrigo De Paul scores one of the biggest goals in the title run. Jordi Alba contributed. I mean, the stars contributed. And in a league that's built on parity, the stars do matter when the margins are thin and the pressure is its highest. The structure can keep you competitive, but the stars put you over the line. It's the balance that MLS is refining. 2026 is also going to be the last year that MLS operates under the traditional calendar year schedule. It served the league well. It helped MLS survive in its early years. It's what, you know, this country's always done. The league's grown cautiously. It's established itself in a pretty crowded sports landscape in the United States, more crowded than anywhere else in the world. But the league's grown up. It's fully part of the global transfer market. Operating on the more isolated calendar has become a limitation more than a benefit. That's why in 2027, the league is shifting to start in the fall and end in the spring. That's significant. You're going to get more aligned with global transfer windows. You're going to get more aligned with international competitions. You're going to get more aligned with how the modern soccer business works right now. The old calendar helped get MLS here. And we'll celebrate that in 2026 in a crazy year with a World Cup break. But the new calendar is going to mash down the accelerator of where MLS goes next. 26 is a big inflection point because of that. And I'm really looking forward to the MLS season. I want to see what the effect of the World Cup is. But I'm really, really excited about what comes even further down the line for Major League Soccer. But I think most importantly, when you look ahead to 2026... as I said before, it's not a make or break year. It's not the finish line. It's a starting point. What happens in 26 will shape habits, expectations, identities long after the final whistle blows on the year. The goal isn't to peak in 2026. The goal is to build something off of it that endures beyond it. That's why 2026 matters in a huge way, because you're going to have the world showing up here. You're going to have those accelerators that you won't see on a regular basis. You're going to have the opportunities to make this year last much further than 365 days. Atlanta will be living the game in 2026 in a way that it never has before, with 8 World Cup games, with a hopefully rejuvenated Atlanta United on the field, with the growth process of the NWSL team. It's a huge year. I cannot wait to get this thing started. It's going to be a blast. When we come back, we'll shift gears. We'll go quick fire. 3 local stories, 4 headlines from all over the world, and 3 things that make me smile about the game as we close out 2025. 3-4-3 coming up next. Stay with us on Atlanta Soccer Tonight on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
It's time to wrap up tonight's show with the 3-4-3.
3-4-3.
3 local stories, 4 headlines from around the world, and 3 things that made you smile about the game.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. It's time for the 3-4-3, presented by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. 3 local stories, 4 headlines, 3 things that make me smile about the game that I love so much. Let's start on the local side, and we'll talk about Atlanta United signing that was announced this morning. Tomas Jakob, 21-year-old Argentine defender arriving from Necaxa in Liga MX. It doesn't feel like a short-term kind of thing. You're talking about a young player who will be expected to develop further here. He signed through 2029 as well, club options beyond that. He'll occupy a U22 initiative slot once the paperwork is finalized. I think what stands out to me is the profile. He comes from Newell's Old Boys in Rosario, Argentina, as did Tata Martino, as have a few Atlanta United players like Franco Escobar. He kind of reminds me of Franco in some ways. Newell's is one of the most respected development systems in South America. They typically produce very technical, tactically aware players. He's gotten significant minutes in Argentina's top flight, now a season in Mexico in the Apertura with Necaxa. He's not just a project, he's been tested. From a tactical standpoint, his versatility matters. He can play as a right back, he can play as a center back, he can play as a defensive midfielder. He can be a center back in a 3-man back line as well. You need those kind of players in MLS, where roster spots are tight, in-game adaptability can swing results. I mean, you've got a guy who can move to 3 different positions and be completely comfortable in all of them. For a team that struggled with balance at times and cohesion and, I think, toughness, he's definitely got that. He's a strong tackler, finished a big game against Boca back in the Apertura in Argentina in April, with a broken finger, moved into that midfield position, which he hadn't really played a whole lot up to that point. And his coach, Christian Fabiani, talked about how what stood out to him and why he really valued this player was the fact that he listens and he will do anything the coach asks. He's tough-nosed. And this is one of those moves that might not get you a lot of headlines internationally, but it's the kind of move that can win you points in the summer, can win you points in some of those tough moments that I think this team has struggled with. Gives you a little more grit. I think it's a smart move. I want to see how he adapts to MLS. I think that year in Mexico will help that a little bit, or half season in Mexico. He started in Argentina in the first half of 2025 and then moved to Necaxa in the summer. I'm excited to see him. I think he's a good fit for what Atlanta United is looking to be in 2026 and beyond. Number 2 on the local side, Ayo Oke, Georgia roots, a global trajectory. One of the biggest women's soccer stories going on right now is a player who is connected to Georgia, Ayo Oke. She is set to join NWSL expansion side Denver Summit on what's being reported as a record incoming transfer fee for an American player. Now, her story is a reminder of the roots here in Georgia. She grew up in Lawrenceville, started at Brookwood High School, developed through the Top Hat Soccer Club, one of the top youth programs in the country, played in college at Cal and UCLA, and then signed professionally in Mexico with Pachuca. Immediately made an impact, helped the club win a league title. That tells you her profile has been rising quickly. It accelerated her development. Now it's paying off in a big way. For Atlanta and Georgia soccer, look, I wish it was 2 years down the road and she'd be signing to come back to Atlanta. Maybe she does come back in 2028. That's a whole other topic. but it's a validation of the local development ecosystem. And it's proof that when Atlanta launches an NWSL, you've got players like this that are being developed in the grassroots here already. It's a huge data point for what that club can be successfully down the road. Number three on the local side, we'll go a little bit further south in Georgia to Tormenta in Statesboro. They quietly have made a couple of nice signings here lately, adding Andrew Booth and Moses Mensah ahead of the upcoming USL League One season. Booth, high-energy midfielder. He can cover ground, bring some balance to the center of the park. Mensah, very good, experienced USL championship player, previously with Birmingham Legion. He brings that resume and that leadership into a league where you do have a lot of younger players, and sometimes those guys with those valuable minutes at a level just a little bit higher can end up paying off in very important things. This shows you that the growth that's happening around Georgia is not, again, purely in Atlanta. What's being built down in Statesboro with Tormenta has been a blast to see come to fruition, and I'm looking forward to seeing Booth and Mensah on the field for them this upcoming season. Let's go into our headlines from around the world, four of them. Number one, AFCON, the Africa Cup of Nations, wrapping up the group stage tomorrow, but the knockout round teams are set, 16 heading into the round of 16, the knockouts. It's been a blast to watch. You can watch it on BN Sports here in the U.S. in English. If you don't have that on your cable or satellite or TV provider, you can get it on Fnatis, FNTZ.co/soccer down here, if you know about the SDH network. It is a great service, and this has been a great tournament. Nigeria, they completed a flawless group campaign today. They've been the best team so far in the tournament. They are firmly among the favorites. DR Congo, they delivered a decisive win today to set up a heavyweight knockout clash with Algeria, who's been very good in the tournament. Senegal topped their group despite some late drama. Tanzania advanced as one of the best third place teams. Sudan is going to advance. Mozambique is going to advance. You've got the powerhouses, but you've also got some underdog stories that are just a blast in this tournament. Ayoub El Kabi for Morocco has scored two bicycle kicks in three games in this tournament, which is insane. It's hard enough to have one major bicycle kick goal in your career. He's got three in the last 6 months. Morocco has been the second best team in the tournament. Egypt is probably third. I think Nigeria has been the best, Morocco, and then Egypt. And we'll see how Cameroon and Cote d'Ivoire finish their group stage tomorrow. They're right there in the mix as contenders as well. Number two on the headlines, Arsenal. They didn't just win. They announced themselves that they're back after not bad performances, but maybe not as dominant of performances. One of their most convincing performances of the season, 4-0 win over Aston Villa, who had won 11 straight. Villa was 3 points off the lead in the table in third place. Arsenal made the conversation about the great run they've been on. It made it feel kind of short-lived. Arsenal was excellent. And it's about the team, and it's about the collective. This, I said it back around Thanksgiving. I said Arsenal was the best team in Europe. I questioned that a little bit over the last month. I feel better about that proclamation now. I think they are. Now, they've had a lot of injuries. We'll see if they get guys back. We'll see if they can maintain that. Because here's the thing. Last year, PSG ended up as the best team. At this stage last year, they absolutely were not the best team in Europe. Can Arsenal maintain being that team for another 6 months? It's going to be a very interesting watch in England and in the Champions League to see if they can get that done. Number three on the headlines, according to some recent global rankings, Major League Soccer is now the sixth most watched soccer league in the world, trailing only the European traditional, the Big Five. The Power Five, if you want to go college football on it. England, Germany, Spain, Italy, and France. France is fifth. MLS has gotten to sixth in this study's metrics. You had nearly 8 million fans attend games this season. MLS games are broadcast in more than 180 countries. It's one of the most accessible leagues anywhere in the world through streaming, through the improved production standards, the rising on-field quality, the investment like we talked about. All of that has combined to change how MLS is being perceived internationally. Now, it's not universal. You still have some people who are outdated and haven't actually checked in. South Africa's manager complaining about one of his star players signing for the Chicago Fire. It's not 1985. It's not 1995. It's not 2005. It's not 2015 anymore. This is a league that, to me, doesn't have to chase validation anymore. It's relevant. And the people who don't see it that way, and yes, I'm looking at you, some Celtic fans, and I'm looking at you, Hugo Bruce, the manager for South Africa. We don't care. Like, you'll catch up eventually, or everything will pass you by. It's not about that anymore. With the World Cup coming, with Atlanta and many other team cities around the league being involved in it, the expanding footprint of Major League Soccer feels less like coincidence and more like all of the preparation that has led you here is coming to fruition at the perfect time to make the most of it. Number four, we talked about NWSL a little bit before. If you haven't been following along, they're in an interesting spot right now in their structural conversation. They're growing rapidly, but with that growth comes some complexity. So the league recently introduced a new rule called the High Impact Player Rule. It allows teams to exceed the salary cap by up to $1 million to sign or retain star players that meet certain criteria. And one of them is about their brand off the field. Now, league leadership, they view the rule as important. It's like the designated player rule in MLS. It's like other leagues that have ways and rules and designations that allow you to go above the cap to sign players. Now, the NWSL Players Association raised concerns. They said that the league should not have passed this rule. They said that they, one, should have negotiated all of this out, and the league didn't have to in this case, but they could have. The Players Association also would rather see that $1 million just added to the cap. Now, the tension right now, it's not like what's happening with USL where it feels like there is a stalemate and there's a crisis. This is a growing pain, literally. It's what happens when a league goes from trying to survive to being sustainable to having ambition to be the biggest women's professional sports league in the world. How they balance all that is going to define their next chapter, and Atlanta's going to be a big part of that next chapter. Now, let's finish with three things that make me smile about soccer as we get ready to start 2026. One, the fresh start at Atlanta United. The optimism that I'm hearing, not just inside the building, but from people on the outside, from fans. The optimism about Tata Martino coming back. Preseason starts in like less than 2 weeks. It's crazy. With all of that just optimism, you know, it's a new season brings it anyway. But this feels a little bit different, and it doesn't guarantee everything. That's the challenge of where you are right now. It doesn't guarantee, because Tata Martino won before, that he will win now, but it does bring you that optimism as you head into a new season. Two, I've talked about it consistently, and yes, the NWSL is dealing with some growing pains right now, but just the fact that 2025 is a year that we'll remember as the year it was announced that Atlanta would have a professional women's soccer team again. I think it would happen sooner if we didn't have a global pandemic and we didn't have some of the crisis that was going on in the league and trying to get from survival to sustainability to ambition. But now you're in a point where it's the right time for Atlanta to come into the league and I think really elevate the league. It's exciting. It just changes access. It changes opportunity. It changes visibility across the region. And number three, I mean, duh, we have a World Cup year coming to Atlanta for the first time ever. We get to welcome the world to our city. We get to share our city with the world. We get to introduce our city to people around the world. And look, I'm really thankful that I get to talk soccer with all of you every Tuesday night on 92.9 The Game. And there are a lot of you, as I have been told, which is amazing. And I would have never guessed that these things could be happening to our little soccer show here in Atlanta, Georgia. And so many of you out there are listening to it every Tuesday night. All I can say is thank you. I appreciate each and every one of you for taking time out to listen to me talk about soccer and listen to all of us who talk soccer on the station, all of our Atlanta United crew, Mike Conti, Abe Gordon, Madison Cruz, John Nelson, Nick Alifi, Jared Smith, we're really lucky to get to do what we do. And we don't get to do it if y'all aren't out there listening. So thank you for making 2025 a huge year. And let's make 2026 even bigger. Don't forget, you can always catch our soccer podcast from the station on the Odyssey app. Just search for Off the Woodwork. I'll be talking to you next year. Adios, everybody.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.